Good evening. Welcome to the Reedy City Council meeting of Tuesday, October the 14th. I'd like to call this meeting to order. Tonight's invocation will be done by Pastor Ron Robertson of the Full Gospel Tabernacle. The Pledge of Allegiance will be done by Councilmember Rodriguez. And will you stand with me, please?
Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. And Lord, I thank you for this city. Thank you, Lord, for those who serve it well. And Father, we ask your blessings upon them. Lord, as business is conducted tonight, I pray for wisdom and understanding. Lord, I pray that your love will be in the hearts of those who serve. Father, thank you. And thank you, Father, for this meeting. We ask, Lord, your blessings upon our city. And Lord, as these men see to the future with vision and hope, we pray, Lord, that dreams will rise up in the hearts of people for even greater things for this wonderful city. Bless all our councilmen and bless those who are here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Ready? Salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Could I have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Betancourt. Councilmember Fast. Councilmember Rodriguez.
Here.
Councilmember Cellino.
Yes.
Mayor Beck.
Here. Is there any agenda additions or deletions tonight?
Yes, Mayor, we'd like to add a presentation at the beginning of our presentation section that will just take a couple of minutes.
Okay, we'll make that a 2A. How's that?
Perfect.
Okay, and I would like to pull item 13 due to a council member not being available tonight.
We'll approve the additional deletions.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Cellino?
Yes.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mayor Beck?
Yes. Okay, moving on to presentations. Item number one, Red Ribbon Week Proclamation, Police Department of Community Services.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor. I'm actually going to be deferring to Sarah to take care of this part. Actually, Cindy's over at the going to be attending the school board meeting and doing the same presentation there. So the police department's actually represented over there as well. So,
good evening, Mayor and members of the council. Tonight I am here on behalf of the Red Ribbon Committee to bring forward a proclamation proclaiming October 23rd through the 31st as Red Ribbon Week here in Reedley. The Red Ribbon Committee is composed of representatives from Kings Canyon Unified School District, Reedley Police Department, Reedley College, Reedley Boys and Girls Club, PATH Projects, which is performing above the high, Eminence, and the City of Reedley Community Services Department. Representatives from those agencies are here tonight. They're joining us, and they're also at the school board meeting doing that presentation. It takes all of our efforts to put on the Red Ribbon events here in town and all of our resources to make them a success. The Red Ribbon Carnival this year is scheduled for next Friday, October 24th from 6 to 8 at the Reedley Armory Building. I would like to invite you all to come out and check out our event. At this time, I would like to bring forward Renee, who is the director for the Boys and Girls Club, our local chapter, and he will introduce the young people who are here with him tonight to read the proclamation.
Good evening, Council. I just want to introduce my readers. First up, we have Fabian Gallardo. He's from Grant Middle School. Then we have Malachi Henry from Grant Middle School. And our last reader will be Gustavo Cruz from Lincoln Elementary School.
Whereas alcohol and other drug abuse has reached pandemic stages in California and throughout the United States, and whereas it is imperative that community members launch unified and visible tobacco, alcohol, and other drug prevention education programs and activities to eliminate the demand for these substances, and whereas Californians for Drug-Free Youth Incorporated coordinates the California Red Ribbon Celebration in cooperation with the National Federation of Parents to offer our citizens the opportunity to demonstrate their commitment to healthy drug-free lifestyles. Whereas the Red Ribbon Celebration will be observed across America during Red Ribbon Week, October 23rd to the 31st, 2014. Whereas parents, youth, government, business, law enforcement, school, religious institutions, service organizations, social services, health services, media, and the general public will demonstrate their commitment to drug-free communities by wearing and displaying red ribbons during the week-long celebration. Whereas we recognize and commend the contributions made by the Kings Canyon Unified School District, Reedley Police Department, Reedley College, Reedley Boys and Girls Club, and the City of Reedley Community Service Department. Whereas the community of Reedley further comments its resources to ensure the success of the Red Ribbon Celebration.
Now, therefore, I, Robert Beck, Mayor of the City of Reedley, do hereby proclaim October 23rd to the 31st of 2014 as Red Ribbon Week in the City of Reedley and encourage all citizens to participate in tobacco, alcohol, and other drug prevention programs, activities, making a visible statement and commitment to the healthy, drug-free communities in which to raise a generation of drug-free youth, and be it further proclaimed that the City Council of the City of Reedley encourages all community members to pledge no use of illegal drugs and no illegal use of legal drugs. Dated October 14th, 2014.
All right, gentlemen. Yes.
And here is your proclamation, Sarah. Oh,
thank you very much.
Go ahead. You want to say something, Rick?
Yeah. Good job, guys. This is the first time y'all did the ladies. Usually there's a lot of girls here giving the presentation, so you guys did a good job. Also want to thank Sarah and all the agencies, all the individuals that came together and make this possible for the community, because I know it takes a lot of hard work. And I have a question. You said on October 24th, what's the time on that?
6 to 8.
6 to 8.
At the Armory.
Okay, thank you.
Anybody else like to make a comment? I'd like to note for the record that Councilmember Fast has arrived. Thank you, and I did enjoy seeing you guys up one step for the gals this time. Okay, moving on. Item number two, presentation of City of Reedley Youth Sports Coach of the Year, Louis Salazar, Community Services.
Good evening, Sarah Reed, Community Services Department Superintendent. It is my pleasure to be here this evening to introduce our 2014 Coach of the Year, Louis Salazar. He has been a positive role model for the players of his teams and displays good sportsmanship. Louis has coached in different areas of the youth sports programs, which include basketball, baseball, and junior Giants baseball. What's special about Louis is he coaches because he loves to. He has no children or siblings in our program, but still volunteers his time to work with these young people. He also works for the Boys and Girls Club, which shows his passion for working with youth. I appreciate the commitment Louis has for the success of our programs and would like to thank him for his service. On behalf of the Community Services Department, I would like to present him with a plaque. And the plaque reads, "Thank you for your service to the youth in our community."
Okay, so I'm Luis. Let me start off by saying that the community of Reedley has been a positive impact in my life. As a volunteer coach, I was able to demonstrate a caring, dedicated, passionate individual. Every season, my goal is to teach kids fundamentals of a particular sport. However, I also stress the importance of doing well in school while being involved in sports. I believe I was able to guide these kids in the right path towards success. In a short amount of time, I became a delightful public helper to the residents of Reedley. Reedley has become my second home, in which I enjoy spending my time and effort for this generous district. I will continue to work hard in school and as a volunteer coach. I want to thank Sarah Reed for giving me the opportunity to coach, Renee Alatorre, the director of Reedley Boys and Girls Club, for understanding throughout the sports seasons, my family, and most importantly, God, for giving me the strength every day to come out and be a devoted coach. Thank you again for this award.
Comments?
I have a comment.
Sure.
I just think it's really admirable of you that you're willing to volunteer like that. We need a few more of your friends that are like-minded to join in. That would be great. But just think of the little, tiny little glimpses of hope that you're giving to these kids. And I want to encourage you to just remember that every day that you're with them, even though they may be brats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they are.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had small children too, but then they'll watch you and see what you do and see how you respond, and they will want to be like you. Mm-hmm. So I'm very proud of you.
Thank you.
That's great.
I sure have a class.
You know, if I can just say something. Yeah, you know, it's nice. We hope we get individuals like you in the future to do the same.
Yeah, I hope so too. There's wonderful kids here in the community, really. Not only have I met wonderful kids, but there's wonderful parents and who actually care about sports programs and doing well, and not only sports, but also in school.
Mm-hmm.
And I hopefully, if everything goes well, I wish to come back to the city of Reedley and hopefully become a superintendent for the school district.
Wow.
You know, one of the things when you're involved with kids, and I did it for 36 years, is when you coach little kids, and then 20, 30 years later, they come back and they say, my child is now involved. No, so that's great.
I understand, and I wish to come back, and hopefully a kid will tell me that too, because I want to have that feeling of being a positive role model.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
That I'd like to say one thing was, for you to do what you do, somebody had a very positive effect in your life.
Yep.
And never forget what people done for you, and you're sharing that right now. That shows what type of person you are, and that in itself will bring you gold that no other gold will cover that. Mm-hmm. Money, nothing. That is gold in your heart, because I also used to coach youth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the most fulfilling thing you do. It's a job and it's a chore.
Mm-hmm.
But you are bringing something to these kids they need big time right now. And that is an important thing. So
Thank you. I will.
You are a role model. Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Just the only thing I want to say is thank you for all of your time and effort, because I know you're putting in countless hours. You know, it's a long day, and if you're going to school, it gets a little longer, but it's deeply appreciated on behalf of the parents, on behalf of the community, and I just wish you the best of luck, and hopefully someday we'll see you coaching at the high school.
that's my goal.
A lot of the coaches that start at the rec department or so forth, and they matriculate into the high school, but that would be great. But you know what? I did a lot of coaching myself, and I think the most fun part was with the small kids.
Yeah, you know, showing them fundamentals.
They just absorb like sponges. You know, when you get to the high school, they know it all. They know more than the coach. Okay, so once again, thank you very much for your dedication.
Oh, you're welcome. It's a pleasure, and I will continue to coach for the city of Reedley.
Thank you, Lewis.
You're welcome.
You want to get a picture with the mayor?
Yeah.
Can he take a quick picture real quick?
Sure.
Is that okay?
I mean, he's building his resume already. He's not done. He's building his resume. He's not done.
You want to do it with the mayor? Sure. Mayor, do you mind doing it?
Sure. Come on.
Can I be your buddy for a minute? Oh, I have that already.
I have one.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, let's put it down.
Oh, I thought it was
No, it's down here. Thank you.
Trying to get out of the picture.
Hey, congratulations. Congratulations. Okay, moving on to item 2A, which I believe is a presentation by Steve.
Yes, sir. Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of council, members of the community. You know, this past year, it felt like I've been part of a movie, and it's been a successful movie. You know, we've had some great successes in what we've been doing with the restorative justice program. I'm here this evening to let the council know of another achievement that our restorative justice program has received achieved. Last Thursday, Lieutenant Ettinger and myself and John Swinning and Sherry Wiedenhofer from MCC had the privilege of going to the Central California Legal Services Awards dinner and receive an award on behalf of the City of Reedley, Kings County Unified School District, and MCC for the work that we have done with restorative justice. The Central California Legal Services is a organization that serves the Central Valley in legal for legal different types of legal services, and it's usually awards that are given to attorneys. But they felt that this year that the Reedley Police Department and what we have been doing with the restorative justice was worthy enough to receive an award. So we were able to go and we were presented with this award here, and it's the 2014 Champions of Justice Special Recognition Award, Reedley Police Peacebuilding Initiative, and it reads, "Your passion for justice inspires us. Thank you so much for your kindness and the time of needs." And it was dated October 9th, 2014. So again, this goes in addition to the James Q. Wilson Award that we received earlier this year in January through the California Police Chiefs Association for our work in community policing. And along with the award, we also received several letters of recognition. One from Henry T. Perea, one from Devin Nunes, and then the other from Jim Costa, along with three other representatives from different organizations in California. So the work that we're doing is obviously making its way outside of our community. And again, this is a great testament to the work that, like I said earlier, it feels like I've been part of a movie and we've done very well, but I've been blessed to be part of this cast, but in a supporting role. And, you know, the people that have really made this possible are folks like Lieutenant Mark Ettinger, who heads the restorative justice program for the police department, John Swenning, Marianne Caruso from Kings Canyon Unified School District, and also Sherry Wiedenhofer. And of course, you know, this could not be possible if it were not for the support of our city council, the Kings Canyon Unified School Board, you know, our city manager, who, you know, all of you just continue to encourage us to mm-hmm. go forth with our restorative justice program, because it is very unique. It is the most unique program that in the entire nation, I would say, because people that we speak to, I challenge them constantly to find an organization, a city in their areas throughout the United States that has a police department, the faith-based organization, and a school district working together in a common goal, and that goal is to save our children and make them positive members of this community. Don't throw them to the side. Don't forget that they are a value, that they are our future. And in order to have them as our future, we have to be able to encourage them. So again, this award is just another feather in our cap. But it is a testament to the work that we are doing here in this community. So on behalf of the Police Department, MCC, and the Kings County Unified School District, I'm here to present this to the City Council as well. So thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Thank you. Any comments?
I'd just like to make a comment and just say thank you for your involvement in this, and thank you, City Manager, for allowing our police department to be a part of this. I feel so convicted when I hear you talk, because if we can save just one, you know, it's a one by one that we save those kids. It's not the group at a time. And there's many, many stories that can be told of lives changed in our town. And that just really encourages me every time I hear those stories.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, congratulations, Chief, to you and your staff. But I think one of the things that you mentioned that's critical or paramount is just the partnership that the police department has with the Kings Canyon Unified School District and other agencies to make this program so efficient and effective. So I know you guys do a lot of the work, but I just think that's, as you said, it's a testament or a demonstration of the agencies in our community working together, and the target is, as you mentioned, to build our future, you know, build our kids, save our kids, and you guys are doing an excellent job with that. Pretty obvious. So thank you much.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Okay, moving on to public comment. Provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the City Council on items of interest to the public within the city's or council's jurisdiction and which are not already on the agenda this evening. It is a policy of the council not to answer questions impromptu. Concerns or complaints will be referred to the city manager's office. Speakers should limit their comments to no more than 3 minutes. No more than 10 minutes per issue will be allowed. For items which are on the agenda this evening, members of the public will be provided an opportunity to address the council as each item is brought up for discussion. Is there any public comment?
Good evening, folks. My name is Ronald Pierce, as you guys might remember. I'm the son of the previous city clerk, Kay Pierce, from some years ago. And unfortunately, I'm here before you because I wanted to basically continue the challenge that I have as a member of the public, as a witness, to the fact that the council is not constitutionally seated. And the problem goes like this. When you go to swear into office, you get sworn in, then you're in office, then you can hire and fire people. But you can't not swear in, decide to fire the clerk that swears you in, excuse me, appoint somebody else, in this case Sylvia Plata, as city clerk, and she was not vested with any authority to swear anybody in as a notary public. Doesn't work that way. Then I watched her swear in Mr. Beck that night. It was a happy night for you. I'm sorry I have to bring this up. But the problem remains is that because she fired the city clerk without the authority before entering office, then appointed somebody to be city clerk, and then had that person swear them in, she's not constitutionally seated still, years later. And the de facto officer doctrine works as if the public is aware of it, everything's void. So I'm here tonight, basically 3 years later, to just restate that fact. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Pierce. Any other public comment? Now moving on to the consent agenda items. Consent agenda items are considered routine in nature and voted upon as one item. Under a consent agenda category, a recommended course of action for each item is made. Any council member may remove any item from the consent agenda in order to discuss and or change a recommended course of action, and the council can approve the remainder of the consent agenda. A council member's vote in favor of the consent agenda is considered and recorded as a separate affirmative vote in favor of each action listed. Motions in favor of the consent agenda are deemed to include motion to waive the full reading of any ordinance in the consent agenda. For adoption of ordinances, Only those that have received a unanimous vote upon introduction are considered consent items. Would anybody like to remove a consent item?
I'd like to remove consent item 3.
Okay.
I'd like to remove item 5.
Okay. We have a motion on item number 4.
Motion approved.
I got a motion and a second. Call for the question.
I'm sorry, who was the second? Oh, thank you. Councilmember Cellino?
Yes.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Mayor Beck?
Yes. Okay, take item number 3. Recommended rejection of claim on Larry Valencia.
My reason for pulling it is because this individual is, as I explained, I think a few months ago, I think it's been that long. He's a neighbor of mine, so I just feel like there's viewed as a conflict of interest. That's my only reason for pulling it. I want to abstain. I don't want to vote on it.
Okay.
We'll count you as an abstention on the on the vote.
Okay. Let's take item number 3. Do I have a recommendation for or a motion on number 3 to deny?
So moved.
I'll second.
Take off the question.
Councilmember Cellino?
Yes.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Mayor Beck?
Yes. Moving on to item number 5. Approve amendment to the lease agreement between the City of Reedley and Moonlight Packing Corporation extending the term for leased land at the wastewater treatment plant and increasing the amount of rent payable to the city. Mrs. Ziba.
Yes, whatever I can do for you.
Okay.
I should have called you and talked to you about this,
but
it's
perfectly
didn't.
Fine. I just had a question. I see we have a lease agreement. This part and basically deals with the terms and how much we're paying them. But I did notice on the last agreement, on item on page 3, item C in the middle of the page there, it talks about the maintenance of the pump and the well itself. Is that for the water that that the tenant will be using?
Right. There's a well on that existing parcel that Moonlight uses, and they pay for the operations and the maintenance of that well.
Okay. My only concern is it talks about here that repair or replacement of the well casing mm-hmm. would be paid by the city. And I just wanted to make sure that you knew that that was there.
Yeah, I think it stems back from the fact that that was an existing well, and so if there are any defects in the well casing, which is fairly rare, correct me if I'm wrong, Russ, but a well casing generally doesn't fail. So I think they put that in there for precautions way back when this agreement was first signed. But anything that should go wrong with that well, is other than the casing itself, is on Moonlight to repair.
Okay, so if it goes dry?
That is on Moonlight to dig a new one, yes.
Or dig deeper.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I just wanted to clarify that.
Okay,
thank you.
Any further comment? Any comment for the public? Do you have a motion on item number 5?
I'll move to approve.
Second.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Councilmember Cellino?
Yes.
Mayor Beck?
Yes. Moving on to item number 6. Administrative business, adopt resolution 2014-089, amending the 2014-15 adopted budget, appropriating $200,000 in general fund from higher than anticipated carryover from the 2013-14 budget for the purpose of one-time transfer to the general fund reserve.
Okay.
Paul.
Good evening, Mayor and City Council. It's a pleasure to be presenting this item this evening. This was a truly a team effort. Staff is very pleased to present this item to the council. The carryover in the general fund is always a little bit different every year, depending upon how the revenues come in for the year and how the year-end expenditures play out. So it's a team effort because all the various staff and the departments that use a portion of the general fund for their operations. They've been watching these expenditures very closely on a monthly basis or even more frequently. So we've really paid attention to that in the last couple of years, and it's starting to show up in these types of actions here. The carryover in the city's general fund from the 2013-14 fiscal year, so it's from the fiscal year ended June 30, 2014, it was $274,000 greater than anticipated in the adopted budget. That $274,000 is from higher than anticipated revenue of approximately $178,000. And lower than anticipated expenditures of approximately $95,000. Just to call out some proportionality, it sounds like a lot of money, and it is, but the expenditure amount of $95,000 is just over 1% of the total general fund budget. So basically, we came in within 1% of where we thought we'd be. It's just great that because our budget is over $7 million, it 1% translates into $95,000. So I'm just trying to give some idea of the scale. Staff is recommending this evening approval to move $200,000 of this surplus to the general fund reserve fund. And if authorized, this contribution would put the city in a position of being just $109,000 short of meeting the overall target set forth in our general fund reserve fund balance policy that was adopted this past April of 2014. So, it's important to try to find out where these higher than anticipated revenues and the lower than expected expenditures came from so that the budget can be more refined next year, because it's better to be on exactly where you thought you'd be, but this is still a good place to be because it's a surplus. So the higher than anticipated revenue of $178,000 thereabouts was due to higher than forecasted revenue in almost 50 different tax and program service areas. So for instance, our property tax came in a little bit higher than we anticipated. Program service areas, the example in the staff report is swim lessons. So the swim lesson amount was a little bit more. So we've got about 50 different areas of different revenues in our city that came in better than what we thought. And so aggregate, if you add them all together, totals about $178,000. So some revenue areas came in a little bit lower, some came in higher, but when it all shakes out, at the end, it's about $178,000 to the good. On the expenditure side, it's even more widely dispersed amongst the budget. We have more expenditure accounts than we do revenue. So we had literally hundreds of different expenditure accounts spread out amongst the police, fire, public works, finance, all the different departments that are paid out of the general fund. If you look at all the aggregate activity in the accounts, and that is attached to the staff report as a expenditure line item detail, so you can see kind of all the activity if you're interested in that much information. But just to show that we've had overall expenditure savings of about $95,000. So just to go back to the general fund policy that we adopted April of 2014, just to be consistent with what the policy that was adopted, it specifically identifies non-recurring revenues and budget surpluses as typical resources that are appropriate to add to or replenish the general fund balance. Under the fund balance policy, contributions or uses of the general fund reserve fund shall continue to be approved by the council during the annual budget or during a mid-year appropriation process such as what we're doing tonight. Although the higher than anticipated carryover amount was actually $274,000, staff is only recommending that $200,000 of the carryover amount be used for a contribution to the reserve fund. This is because a portion of the carryover was due to certain grant and program donations that were received for a specific purpose. So one such example is the Fresno Regional Foundation gave $25,000 May of 2014 for the restorative justice program. And so that those monies are only supposed to be used for that program, but because they came in so late in the year, they didn't show up in the budget document, but we can't use that money for anything else, so we can't put that in to the reserve. So that's just one example of why we're not recommending at this time to put the full 274 into the reserve. We're going to be continuing to watch the general fund during the course of this year, and when we do our mid-year budget review in January or early February, we'll come back to you with any other recommendation, if appropriate at that time, to add further monies to our reserve, but you know, time will tell if that's going to be the case. And that completes my presentation this evening, but I just want to really stress that this was not just a function of my operation or just the finance and the budget part of it. This is truly a team effort. So,
any questions?
I have a couple. If you can refresh us on the policy that we adopted back in April.
Yes.
I can't remember. Did we leave it at that same percent or did we increase it?
You know, the policy back in April was actually the first time that the city and the city council has looked at adopting a formal fund balance policy for the general fund. What we came about with that policy is to strive towards a 60-day operating reserve, which is the equivalent to 2 months of operations. So if we had to cover some unforeseen costs, there's 2 months in the bank. So that's what we have right now. So with this contribution of $200,000, it would put us within just a very short throw of actually meeting that target, which is a little bit faster than even we anticipated. This puts us within 109,000, I think it was, mm-hmm. of actually meeting that target. So, you know, we're going to really look in the next 12 to 18 to 24 months for other opportunities to get there. But of course, you know, as time goes on, there's all kinds of unforeseen types of activities that can hit. But this is one-time money, so we're recommending that we use it for a one-time purpose.
And then my second question is, I know staff with the leadership of our city manager has done a good job in being prudent as far as what expenses we incur, how we plan and so forth, but just to ensure that departments are, you know, they have what is needed to operate, you know, that's what's mm-hmm. important, because I think, you know, one of the things that we need to also get a pulse on is if and so they're not lacking any, whether it's material, equipment, or whatever it is. So if we're doing okay, then, you know, great. Then we can continue to, you know, save money or have a healthy ending balance. But if we're sacrificing and if there's some shortcomings in whatever division or in any department, then, you know, that's something that I would say that staff would. Mm-hmm. It's on their radar, and they're keeping, you know, like I said, a pulse with that, because I think that's, you know, mm-hmm. it's critical. I guess what I'm trying to say too is I want department heads or and so forth and say, like, well, you know, we want to look good here, and we're gonna make sure that we're gonna have a savings also, and demonstrate that we can operate. But as they do that, maybe, as I said, we might be short in some areas. So as long as that's mm-hmm. not happening, mm-hmm. then, you know, kudos to all our division heads.
Sure. It's always a act of trying to balance everything. Mm-hmm. It's important to note that the current policy that the city has at 60 days is the nationally recognized minimum level of operating reserves that they recommend cities and states to have in the bank. So even though it's the national minimum standard, we're still a bit short of meeting that. So although it may sound like a lot of money, if we were to have a shortfall in sales tax or say property tax that was unanticipated, we could have $300,000 or $400,000 that is just gone, and we have to have somewhere to pull that from without impacting the program levels and the services out on the street. So it truly is a buffer to help the city ensure we can maintain our current service levels.
I think you brought up a very important point though, Mr. Rodriguez, and that is when we first were looking at these year-end numbers and seeing that we had this surplus, we had lots of conversations about, oh, we could buy an extra couple of streets worth of paving, we could do that sports park master plan, we could do, you know, there are a million, I'm sure each one of these department heads could use this money 10 times over and something. So we really did want to be cautious that we weren't overlooking some operational thing that we could do with this money. What really brought Paul and I back to the general fund reserve is once we pump that reserve to our policy level, anything that then is surplus, we can do something with. So if we hit that policy first, then we have a little bit more comfort level. The other thing that really is making me a little nervous as a city manager and our departments that use fuel is that CARB ruling that's going to increase the fuel pricing in January, mid-year. So there's some things like that that we just want to be sure that we're not spending money on other things yet because we don't know the full impact. So I think it's a good thing for council and the public to know that we are trying to balance a lot of needs, current needs we have, with uncertainty in the future.
And I think what's critical for the public also to understand, because for some reason they don't understand how governance works or policy or the allocations that we get. And, you know, we sit here, we have constant discussions on when we adopt budgets, and like tonight, talking about we need to ensure that we have 60 days that how we can operate, which is, you know, there isn't comfort with that, you know. There's some cities that don't have that, a lot of cities. But at the same time, the public needs to understand that if and so it crashes and it burns, 60 days will go by.
Yeah.
And we can be, you know, in a real stressful, you know, situation. And I appreciate what staff's always on top of this, because, I mean, I'm the type of guy that studies the market. I do it every day. And what people are saying out there is we're going to have another skid in 2 or 3 years, that there's, they can't predict right now, but they feel that, so whatever we do, you know, as a staff and as a city council, each and every time we meet becomes real critical. So, but at the same time, I guess what I was saying is that I just don't want folks not to be able to perform a duty or complete a job because we're, you know, and I know that that's not going to happen, but I think our city manager brought clarity to it, so I appreciate that.
Great.
You know, one of the things that when we talk about revenue, it's always nice to see that information say there's a plus instead of a minus. And in listening to the news this evening is that the oil prices are going down, and which is going to, I'm sure, save the city on fuel. And hopefully it keeps going down for a while before they talk about that 20 to 76 cents increase in gas tax. So we'll just have to keep our fingers crossed that continues.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Mary?
I'm very thankful that we have this extra money. And I know that our city staff has worked very hard to get to this point. It's not easy. And if you're within 1 to 5%, man, kudos. That's pretty good guessing.
Yeah.
So with the extra $74,000, that'll be available for kind of emergency things that come up. Is that what the thinking is?
Well, part of it is for the grants and the program donations that were received late in the year last year that we can't use for any other purpose. But there's maybe $25,000 or so of the $74,000 that is unallocated, meaning that it's, you know, it's not programmed into a certain area. So like, for instance, we used a portion of that to fund the tree study about a month ago. Mm-hmm. So that used some of the unallocated fund balance. So there, from time to time, there are these unbudgeted issues and items that come up during the course of the year. So it's nice to have a little bit of money to, if the council so chooses to appropriate money for some purpose. So. Mm-hmm.
Anything else, Mayor?
Well, we're headed in the right direction.
We're trying to.
I appreciate you, Paul, and city manager, and our team, department heads. You guys all work together and work very hard to make our city function. Thank you.
Thanks. What I like about it, and I want to thank the entire city staff for what they've done with this, is you're well ahead of what you had said you were going to be as far as putting the reserve together. If I remember correctly, you were looking at about a 3-year time frame on getting this back to the
where it needed
max
to be,
reserve. And that in itself is helping, I think, stabilize us, is that you're getting us to that point. Mm-hmm. It's important. City manager brought up the comment about the carbon tax. The one good thing I see about happening in that is it's really starting to sink in to all the public agencies of what this is going to cost them, and they're getting on board and bringing this before the Sacramento. So we might still have a chance on getting somewhere with that. So I don't think anyone saw what it was going to do to the public agencies as well as the public, and that was kind of biting themselves is what they've done. And so that is getting a little steam. So with a little luck, and like I'm like Ray, I heard today about the oil prices dropping a little, maybe we'll survive at least for another couple of years. So, but anyway, thank you, Paul. By the way, any public comment? Do I have a motion on item number 6?
Move.
I'll second.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Councilmember Cellino?
Yes.
Mayor Beck?
Yes. Item 7. 8 and 9 are minutes for to file. Does anyone have any comment on those? If not, move it on. Oh, yeah, sure. Go ahead.
I'm just wondering, we see the minutes here. Did I miss it? Or do we not have minutes that we're going to approve for our last city council meeting?
Those will be probably on the next agenda. Because our city clerk has been out on a medical leave, we haven't done the city council meetings from last meeting.
One of the things that I observed, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, Ms. Sima, is that it seems like we're a little behind on minutes, you know, because when it's come before the council, it's not like the previous meeting, it's like, you know, 2 or 3 meetings. So I'm just wondering how we can, you know, catch up to that. I would feel more comfortable in approving minutes that say, like, we're having this meeting, so when we come, you know, to our second meeting of the month, we would be approving the minutes of the previous meeting. And I know it's a lot of work, it's tedious and so forth, but I went over some of the stuff that I had, and it seems like we're a little behind, more than 1 or 2 meetings.
Let me check on that. Okay, and see where we are.
Yeah. And I'm not saying the city was not, you know, besides, you know, she's my neighbor and she's a good neighbor. She does a wonderful job for the city, but and I know it takes a lot of time. It's just tedious work. But I just think that if we could catch up a little bit, I think we would all feel better about that.
Let me see where we are, and then we'll get back to all the council members on that. Thank you.
Any further comment on minutes? Any public comment?
As far as the minutes, I think we've always had a few meetings behind schedule. The department heads have an awful lot, and these minutes we've already gone through, and it's always nice to see them, which is important to us
in case there's a correction. But,
you know, we've always been 1 or 2 meetings behind schedule, so I see no problem.
Any further comment? Any public comment? Okay, moving on to item number 10. Brief reports by council members. Mary, I'm going to start with you tonight.
Okay.
two items. I attended the fire department open house, and always a special evening. There were a lot of people there, and a lot of different cities represented. So thank you, Chief, for organizing that. And the flag came out. Mm-hmm. That was special to me. I didn't realize that was going to come that night, but that was neat that Selma helped us to hang that flag. And so hopefully we can use that quite a few times in the near future. To me, the flag is something very special. So that was a nice event for us. And then I attended the fiesta. We had a nice ride on the old Seagraves truck. And seemed like there were a lot of people out and a lot of activity. And I like to see that.
Okay, Ray?
Friday night I was asked, before Friday night I was asked by the chamber if I could the master ceremonies for the opening of the fiesta that night, and it was interesting, and I really appreciate the invitation. Taking over for the mayor who couldn't make it that night to introduce Eddie and Cookie Vasquez as a king and queen for the fiesta that night, and also Bruce Arnheimer as a parade marshal, and well deserved. And also participate in the fiesta or the parade on Saturday. A great crowd. It seems like every year we're getting more and more people. And it was a great, great parade. That's all I have.
Okay. Mr. Rodriguez.
Well, I've had the opportunity the last few weeks to volunteer over at Grant Western Elementary School. Never worked with K graders, but they're interesting little critters. But I've enjoyed, working them, and we're going to continue to do that, both my wife and I, so giving a little back to our community. The second thing, also, I attended the annual fiesta parade. It's interesting that we had quite a bit of schools that represented themselves with the bands. I think it was kind of like four or five. And they were into it, so... Real good showing, and I think as the other council members have pointed out, it's real enjoyable. The community, gets up for it and so forth. The other thing I'd like to report to the council is last week, the Rails to Trails Committee, met. A couple of things that are forthcoming on November 8th. Hopefully there'll be a few articles in the paper in the coming weeks. There will be a gathering. We're trying to get as many organizations and student organizations involved with the cleanup, right before the winter months hit. So that'll be from 8 to 12 on November 8th. Then at 12 o'clock, for those of you that would like to attend, they're going to have a dedication of the mural. That was painted by the Reedley College students. Beautiful. If you haven't had an opportunity to see, this is the sea train there that he painted. So he did a great job. So there will be a presentation that same day. And then a couple of things that we also discussed at that meeting that they requested that I share with staff and council is that there's Hamilton Packing. They're continuing to, spill out their dirty water and stuff like that out into the parkway, out into the, trail. And it's become a little bit of a nuisance because, the concern from the folks that attended our meeting is they're saying like it could be a health situation that's creating itself by that water just sitting there and so forth. So I believe that we, maybe a year ago or something like that, I believe that staff also mentioned that, or they had to communicate with them to make sure that wasn't going to be happening. But there's a concern right there from community folks and the people that are using the trail to walk in the morning and in the evening. So anything that we can do to have that conversation with those folks, we should, because I just think that if everyone starts doing that and they start getting rid of their dirty water and stuff like that, then we're going to have a problem there. So, and there was a couple of our members that are really, to be honest with you, they're really disturbed their disposition with that. So anything that we can do to help with that situation, it would be deeply appreciated. That's all I have. Thank you very much.
Okay. I had the opportunity to attend a luncheon at the Opera House with the city manager and Councilmember Fast. We were able to meet with some UN reps and the Birchwood Conservancy. It's a very interesting meeting that's to do with genetics of animals. And this organization is a worldwide organization, and they're looking at locating in our area. They were looked all over the world, and they picked this area. And they did this about 5 years ago. You know, I don't know how many people were aware of that. So we've got a possibility of a major group of folks, and this would be a 200 or 300 acre development, I believe, in this area. And it would provide professional jobs of many other types of employment in the area. But it's going to be, they're looking at 2 years, I believe, in having the doors open. So you could have a major organization just north of your city here, possibly in the river bottom area. So it's, I believe that's something that is going to happen, and it's going to happen within 2 years. And it was a very interesting meeting. Also on the 30th, actually on the 25th, I had a COG meeting. We hired a new Fresno County Rural Transit Authority manager. Moses Seitz is now the manager. Jeff Webster is retired. I attended his retirement party, and I went in there, and I thought they had kind of cleaned out his office, and it was piled all in the COG. I mean, there was more buses and trucks, miniature trucks and buses. I don't know where he put it all in his office. And people were going around, and I mean, placards and everything you can think of come out of Jeff's office. So people said if you've never stepped in his office, you wouldn't understand it, because I think everything was piled to the doors. But he just finished about 35 years, I believe it was, as the manager.
35 or 40?
Well, he was with the county for over 40, yeah. But I believe 35 of it was as the manager itself. So, and anyway, also on the 9th of October, I had the opportunity to go along with Joel over to the Palm Village and present a plaque to Ruben Ramirez for his service on the Commission on Aging. Mm-hmm. Ruben had done 14 years for service in that, and he's fighting a battle, but he was in good spirits, was joking with everybody like Ruben does, and it was good to see him in good spirits over there that day. Had a nice show. I mean, all the commissioners were there, alternates were there, Christina and Joel and Stat, he was well represented, and they had a nice presentation. Also on the 9th, I attended the fire department's open house. Didn't get a chance to see all of it because it filled up in a hurry. I mean, it was like they all came in at one time down there. And so that was another good job, Chief. You always have a good show down there, so. Also was with the Fiesta Parade, had the opportunity to ride through again this year with everyone, and I'd say after we got through, Councilmember Rodriguez and I sat down and watched the entire parade together, so we got to enjoy the parade for a change also. And that's all I have. I'll turn it over to you.
Okay, as a follow-up, just Mr. Rodriguez, we were recently made aware of the Hamilton situation, and we have staff that has now reached out to Hamilton, and so hopefully you will see, if your members do ask you, you'll see some resolution very quickly here on that.
So, and as follow-up to the mayor, our follow-up conversation with the United Nations delegation is already scheduled for November 6th. We have a call already on, so we're making sure this doesn't get lost in the shuffle of the millions of things we do. So this is incredibly important for us and for our region. The public comment we heard tonight, you may recall that we sent out a memo. Some of you, I guess, weren't even here. I'm sorry. 3 years ago, we sent a legal memo out on the constitutionality of taking the oath and all of that. We'll recirculate that just to refresh everybody's memory. We are fully in compliance with the state constitution. Wanted to make you aware, on our next council meeting, October 28th, we will be bringing forth the new and amended joint use agreement with KCUSD. The primary purpose of that is for pool usage, so that we can begin to have public swim in that pool during the winter time because it is a heated pool. So do expect that on the 28th. They'll be taking it to their board simultaneously. And we've cleaned up the whole joint use agreement, so it's not just going to be on the pool. It'll be the whole joint use agreement, but most of it stays relatively the same. At the end of the month, Kevin and I will be attending a groundwater management meeting with Alta Irrigation, Orange Cove Irrigation, and the Department of Water Resources. And the subject is the new Groundwater Management Act that is forcing adjudicated basins to be in balance by the year 2040-2045. So after we get some information on that, we'll bring it back to this council and do a workshop so that you're aware of what the state is intending for our region to do to balance our groundwater. So just know that right now we're trying to get information. There's a lot of moving pieces, and we'll try to bring you the complete picture once we have it. There are only 3 city council meetings left in the year. I just wanted to bring that to your attention. There is only 1 meeting in November, 1 meeting in December because of the way the holidays fall, and then of course the October 28th meeting. So we're trying to manage those meetings so we don't have too much on every meeting, but they may be heavier meetings than we're accustomed to because of the number of meetings left in the year. And then just finally, we have not seen Ebola on the West Coast. However, I wanted the public to be aware that our fire chief, police chief, our local hospital, they are working with Fresno County EMS and Fresno County Health to make sure that all our protocols are up to date. If it should arrive on the West Coast, we don't want to be taken by surprise. And so the public should feel comfort, as our public safety officers should feel comfort, that we're working on making sure protocols are current with what needs to be done. Do we have any staff with updates?
I had a question. I forgot, Mayor. I apologize. But I thought on the news I heard today that there were some cities that were being highlighted by the airbase. And one of the cities they talked about was Sanger. And they were putting their logo, thing on. And then
they're slowly coming around.
Oh, okay, because they mentioned there's a couple other cities that we're going to do, and it was Selma and someone else. And I go, what? In my mind, I said, what happened to us? You know, immediately you want to say, well, how do people get invited to that party? We didn't get an invitation.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way I was thinking. So if they're coming around, then because I think it's pretty neat what they're putting on the on those planes, you know, the city, you know, logo and stuff. So we'd like to see one with the fruit basket in the world, right?
As long as that one doesn't get shot down in, you know, Afghanistan, and they say, who are these Ridley folks that are coming to get it?
The ones that feed you.
Our understanding is that they are coming around. I think Kingsburg also received a logo on a plane as these planes are developed. So, yeah. Okay, Mayor, I believe that's all for tonight.
Okay, our next item is a closed session item. Item number 12. Is there any public comment on that item? If not, we're going to adjourn into closed session.